Good morning and welcome to Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. The first is that I want to thank the Fellowship Committee for the wonderful picnic last week. We thanked them last Sunday, but most of them were in the kitchen. And so if you're on the Fellowship Committee and helped out last Sunday, would you please stand and let us thank you with a round of applause? And I notice not standing were both James and Boyd, who also helped out and put in a significant amount of work to make the picnic happen. Thank you, Fellowship Committee. If you're interested in providing special music this summer during the offertory, there are still several spots left. You can sign up on the sign-up sheet at the end of the ramp. Be looking ahead to a couple of things on our calendar. First, tomorrow evening is church council. A couple of Saturdays, it's our VBS day. We have found that this day pattern works better for parents and families. So we're going to gather on July 22nd from 9 to 12:30, and we're going to talk about communion and how God has a place for all of us at the table, and how at the table Jesus is with us, Jesus feeds us, Jesus loves us, and Jesus forgives us. So if you're interested in attending, you have a child, grandchild, friend that you think might be interested, you can go on our Facebook page. There's a link to the sign-up sheet. We also sent it out in an email, but we'll continue to remind you about that. And then, of course, the last Sunday of the month is going to be our Christmas in July worship service. We're really looking forward to it. We are inviting folks to have as much fun as possible with this, so wear red, wear green, wear a fun Christmas t-shirt. I've glanced online, and there are plenty, so have some fun with that. We've got a couple of birthdays this week. Actually, two of them are today. Gyla Kepley and James Rosick have a birthday today. Happy birthday. And then Brandy Conrad has a birthday a little bit later in the week. There are no anniversaries this week, but Taylor Fritz and Eddie Heitman are remembering their baptisms. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who greets us in this and every season, whose love never fails, whose promise is sure. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God, our neighbors, and our siblings in Christ. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy. The triune God offers boundless grace when we fail. Receive and live into the gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad. Thank you for serving as acolyte today. Hi, Cameron. You want to sit on this side? Hi, Kate. The last few Sundays, we've talked a little bit about how we can show God our love and our worship with our bodies, right? We don't just come to worship and think with our minds. We use our bodies. So we use our eyes to see the things around us. We use our ears to listen. We use our mouth to pray and to sing and to eat. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how we can use our bodies to bow and show that we honor Jesus, especially at the table. Well, I was thinking, you know, that first song that we sang, it talks about all of these different parts of the world and of creation praising God, how the wind praises God and the waters praise God. And I know you guys are going to the beach next week. So when you're sitting there looking at the ocean, listen to it and see if you can hear it praising God. But somebody gave us some instruments this week, and it got me to thinking, you know, we can also use our bodies when we're singing to maybe play some instruments. So we're going to have this basket of instruments here at church from now on so that whenever we sing a song, if you want to play an instrument, you can. So I thought we'd practice. Maybe we can all sing Jesus Loves Me, and maybe the congregation will help. And while we're singing, we can play an instrument. So why don't we all pick an instrument out and we can play it? You want to play the xylophone? Okay, here's the mallet. No, you want a different one? Oh, you want the cymbals. Okay. Kate, what instrument do you want? Do you want the tambourine or the maracas? You want the maracas? How about you, Conrad? You'll take the flute? Okay. Well, then I guess I'm going to take the tambourine. Okay, will you help us sing Jesus Loves Me? Judy, will you give us a good note? Jesus. Didn't it sound great, everybody? That was wonderful. So we're going to find a place for this basket to sit so that anytime you want to play these instruments when we're singing, you can, and you can use your bodies. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our bodies. Thank you for all the ways we can use our bodies to show you our love. We love you, God. Amen. All right, you may go to Children's Church with Kelly. There we go. Do you want to take the bucket with you? Have fun.
The first reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that we might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the highlights of my weeks is when we get to have Bible study. I look forward to it and I enjoy it so much. For some time now, we have been making our way through a book written by Lutheran pastor Daniel Erlander. It's called Manna and Mercy, a brief history of God's unfolding promise to mend the entire universe. I chose this for our Bible study because I think we're decent at studying a few verses of Scripture or studying a book, but it's a lot harder in general for us to understand the Bible as a whole story, how all the books and stories come together as one. And so recently in our Bible study, we started chapter 10. Chapter 10 begins the latter part of the Bible known to Christians as the New Testament. But Pastor Erlander does not announce that. He doesn't announce that this begins a different story or that this is really where the story begins, because it doesn't. Rather, Jesus enters into a story that began unfolding countless generations before he became human. Every bit of who Jesus is and every bit of what he does, his preaching, his miracles, his suffering, it's all in direct conversation with God's prior saving acts in the remaining part of the Bible. So the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures are the context, the setting, and the story that Jesus continues and fulfills. It's not called the Old Testament because it's irrelevant or because it doesn't matter anymore. It just means that it began earlier. It came before the new. Just as the new doesn't make it better. It's just later occurring. And so today, as we begin to study the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which focuses on the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, I want us all to remember that a new and different story doesn't begin here. Instead, it's a new chapter in the continuing story of how God reveals God's love and mercy and grace to all the universe. Martin Luther thought that the primary function of the Creed was to summarize God's grace and mercy by describing all of the ways that all of the things that God has done, is doing, and will do. And I think we can see that in the second article of the Creed as it answers for us who Jesus is and what it means for us and the church and the world that this is who Jesus is. So the first line in the second article, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord." The next couple of Sundays are kind of two sermons, but they're really one. I thought you'd rather have it divided into two than maybe have a 40 or 45 minute sermon. Was I right about that? So it's kind of two parts of the same sermon while we look at Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. We're going to be looking at one of the great mysteries of our faith, that Jesus is fully and truly human, and Jesus is fully and truly God. Now, we call this a mystery not because it's something that we can explain or try to understand, because we really can't do that fully. But it's a mystery because God gives us the faith to believe it to be true, even when we can't understand it or explain it. So today we're going to look at that first part, Jesus Christ. And next week we'll look at God's only Son, our Lord. Our Lord's given name is Jesus. And we know from Scripture that Mary and Joseph didn't pick out that name for Jesus on their own like most parents do. But instead, each of them had been visited separately by an angel who commanded them to name their baby Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Now, if you'll remember, Yahweh is the proper name for God. And Jews still believe that this name is so holy and so sacred that they don't even say it aloud. So Jesus' name is the English translation of his name. It comes from the Hebrew Yeshua. And if that sounds a little bit like Joshua to you, it's because it is. Yeshua. Yeshua means that Yahweh saves. When it's translated into Greek, it becomes Iesus, which is where we get our Jesus from. Yeshua, and the nickname, maybe Mary and Joseph called their little guy Yeshi. Yeshua or Yeshi was and still is a very common name for Jewish boys. But for this boy, Jesus, it was a lot weightier and held even more meaning. Because Yeshua wasn't the name given to Jesus simply to identify him in a house full of siblings. It wasn't just a name given to him to identify him in a classroom of lots of children. This name proclaims who Jesus was, and who Jesus is, and who he evermore will be. Yahweh saves. Jesus is the Savior of the world, saving God's people and all of creation from sin and everything that sin tears apart. This baby, this child, this Jesus is Yahweh. And this child, this Jesus, is salvation. Yahweh saves. It's not just Jesus' name, but it's who he is, and it holds the incredible power and presence of God, Yeshua. And then we come to Christ, which, interestingly enough, is not Jesus' last name. I had a little kid say to me once that they thought Christ was Jesus' last name. In fact, people in the first century didn't have last names. If they needed further identification than just their first given name, they were identified by where they were from or by whose child they were. So Jesus would have been known as Jesus of Nazareth. We read that in the Bible. Jesus would have also been identified as Joseph's son or Mary's son. The world was a lot smaller then, and there weren't Facebook profiles where you had to go through all of the Jesuses. Christ means anointed one. The Hebrew word for Messiah, which is where we get Christ, can be translated in a couple different ways from the Greek. It can be Christos, which is where we get Christ from. It can also come from Messias, which is where we get Messiah from. So it can be either word, Christ or Messiah, they're the same thing. But Messiah is one of those churchy vocabulary words where I think we could all probably use it in a sentence, But if we had to define it, it would be a lot harder to do. So let's see if we can define it a little bit more. Messiah means anointed one. And it referred to the anointing of oil of special figures, mostly kings and priests, in the life of the nation of Israel. The oil was symbolic of God's Spirit, the Spirit who would empower and enable these people for their role of service. So a Messiah would have been someone whom God set apart to perform a special role in Israel's life to accomplish God's purposes. We see other messiahs in the Hebrew scriptures, King David. When David is found and after the battle he has with Goliath, Samuel anoints him with oil because he is the king at that point of Israel. So a Messiah was someone whom God had set apart to perform a special role to accomplish God's purposes. Well, as often happens, as time went on, there became this idea of a Messiah or the Messiah. And as time went on, the hopes and expectations that were placed on the Messiah became greater and greater. People believed that God would raise up and send someone to restore the nation's fortunes, someone who would fulfill both the role of king and priest, and who would set Israel on a firm foundation, both politically and religiously. So when we say Jesus the Christ, we are affirming that Jesus is the true Messiah of God's people Israel, that he is the fulfillment of that long-awaited Messiah that they hoped for and dreamed about, and that we read about in the Hebrew scriptures. It's interesting, though, that Jesus is really reluctant in the Gospels to refer to himself as a Messiah. And I was thinking about that this week, and I actually don't think it was necessarily because of modesty. I think it was because Jesus was fully aware of the limitations of what those messianic expectations had become, and the gap between those expectations and the ways that he was fulfilling them was so big that I think he was sort of reluctant to carry that title and place it upon himself. Because we know that the truth is that in Jesus, God sent a rather different sort of Messiah than the people were expecting and hoping for. And we know that Jesus would accomplish something more profound and more world-changing than their limited hopes could even begin to imagine. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, inaugurated the kingdom or the reign of God that crosses time and space, bringing peace and justice to the world that God so loves. In Jesus, God came to us and continues to come to us. But the truth is, it's not in expected or even hoped for ways. And to many, not just then, but even today, this is a huge disappointment. Because Jesus didn't come to outmuscle the world, but to invite us to be tender and loving, soft, and even vulnerable. Instead of taking on a military role and battling with armies, Jesus battled death itself and conquered it forever. Instead of building a grand and exquisite temple, Jesus called people, the rich and the poor, rejected people and despised people, male and female, to himself to be what the temple was supposed to be, the living presence of God on earth. instead of turning nickels into dimes so that people could get rich and prosper. Jesus called the band of people that followed him to leave everything behind, to be his people, the body of Christ. As Jesus' body in the world today, we bear his name. As his followers, we're not just called to follow the way of Jesus Christ, Yahweh saves, the anointed one. We're called to bear his name to the world with our lives, in the way that we live. As Christians, we are called to reflect Jesus Christ in the way that we live and love. This is one of the promises that we make in the affirmation of our baptism, to proclaim the good news of Christ to the world in word and in deed. I know it can feel like a tall order and a seemingly impossible task, but the good news is that when we were baptized, we too were anointed with oil. The pastor made the sign of the cross on our forehead with oil, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who also empowers and enables us to live out God's love and God's will in the world. And yes, we're called to be Jesus' body in the world, but first, every Sunday, we come to this table and we take into our bodies the body and blood of Christ so that Christ can strengthen us and nourish us to be his body in the world. Come forward today. Remind yourself of your baptism, of your anointing, of your being set apart in the world to share God's love. And then eat and drink, be strengthened, so that you can leave this place to share Jesus Christ, God's salvation, with all the world. Brothers and sisters, may our lives, may our love, our actions, and our words proclaim to the world that we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church. Those in need and all of God's creation. God of grace, you call ministers to proclaim your gospel of grace throughout the world. Inspire pastors, deacons, church musicians, and all ministers of your word as they carry out your work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all creation, you reveal your goodness through all you have made, rivers and seas, plants and animals, and endangered species. Prosper the work of conservation organizations, botanical gardens, zoos, and wildlife sanctuaries. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the nations, you desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace. Guide government leaders at all levels, national, state, and local, to work for justice, mercy, and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of compassion, you bring healing to those who are sick, consolation to those who are grieving, and well-being to those who are distraught. Make your presence known among all who struggle, especially Bill, Scott, Paul and Carolina, John, Kent, Bobby and Jana, and all those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of rejoicing, you have brought us together this day to worship around word and sacrament. Encourage children in their learning and growing, and watch over those who are absent today. Lead us all to places of renewal and refreshment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all faithfulness, through the witness of the faithful departed, you reveal love in action. Embolden us by their example to build up the beloved community in all the contexts we encounter. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Together on our knees. praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun,
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All people are called to Christ's table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement.
As united in the people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian fellowship in the midst of the world and the
Go in peace, serve the Lord.